Blaine and Mickey joined by the hardest working man in zone business, Buck Rising. Jake Wild just tweeted Blaine and Mickey and said, does Buck ever go home? Does he know that he can go home? I don't know. Maybe he doesn't know that. He's brought to you by the good folks at Two Rivers Ford, home of the non-commissioned salespeople. Thanks to Two Rivers for just keeping Buck here for another segment. We appreciate it. Bucky, I think Blaine had some wishes that he wanted to send to you coming up for this weekend with the special someone in your life, right, Blaine?
Yeah, because, you know, Lucas was kind of educating me on it. I thought you were engaged, so kind of take me through and correct me, because Lucas said that I don't think that's quite true.
No, that would be inaccurate. That would be fake news. Not that it's, you know, here I am going to get in trouble. Thank you, Blaine. Yeah. Happy Friday with my girlfriend's parents coming into town for the first time since we've been dating. But, yeah, we just had a two-year anniversary dating-wise on April the 28th because I'm stupid and I asked my girlfriend out during the NFL draft, which is the worst possible time to do something like that. But also very, very happy. And not engaged. But one of the first conversations that I had when I came to the zone was with one of the fantastic people on the zone sales staff, Brittany. And Brittany called me and asked, you know, we were looking at people like Two Rivers Ford who wanted to work with me or that I wanted to work with, so on and so forth. And Brittany said, well, are you still dating your girlfriend? And I said, yes. And she said, well, when are you guys going to get engaged? And I said, I don't know, Brittany. Why? And she said, well, we're seeing if, you know, maybe you want a jewelry endorsement or something like that. And I'm like, that's the reason you're telling me to get engaged so that you can sell me to a jewelry store? Stop it. So, yeah, that's, you know, for a couple extra $100 or something like that, not that engagement is off the table. Let me shut up now. let me just shut that up.
You just said something. Again, Buck Rising joins us from Buck Rising's own show, which is before this show every day on the zone.
Sure.
You just said this is the first time that your girlfriend's parents have come to see you in 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it's a special weekend, Mother's Day, and there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. You've got a cat family now.
Yeah.
I mean,
what are you guys doing?
This seems like a perfect weekend to really make a life-changing question. What do you need? Let Blaine and Lucas and me help you plan this.
Mother's Day, yeah. Well, where are you going? You already have that planned out. I know you seem like a planner or well-organized.
I'm not talking about just the Mother's Day, yeah, Blaine. I'm talking about, like, getting down on
Both of you were trying to sabotage me in ways that are completely unfair and unnecessary. This is so... Blaine, if only people could see the Zoom call. This is why it's the only reason that I'm willing to stick around, not just because our friends at Two Rivers Ford make this possible, but because I enjoy so much my time with Mickey and Blaine. No, this is not the appropriate weekend. I would not want to steal Dara's mother's shine on Mother's Day weekend. And yes, we have the entire weekend planned out because I don't have time to not plan things, Blaine, because otherwise I'll completely forget about them. And then it's my butt more than it would be otherwise with you guys getting me in trouble on every Friday at 1:25.
All right. Well, I want to get your recommendation, you know, because you always give great advice.
Okay. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's what I think about you. Yes.
Yeah. Sure. That's exactly what I think about when I hear Buck Rising. Great advice.
Mm-hmm. Great advice.
So I'm combining Mother's Day on Sunday to my son's birthday, who will be home today.
Okay.
And we're going to go out to eat on Saturday at Perry's Steakhouse. Ooh. A new steakhouse out there in Williamson County.
Yeah.
You know, at 5:30, anybody wants to join us, they can.
Oh, God.
do you think this is appropriate? They can't get in because I barely got in. It's just knowing somebody, really.
Yeah.
So do you think it's appropriate that I combine my son's birthday with Mother's Day on Sunday? His birthday was, you know, Tuesday, and he's just now coming home from college this evening, and then we're, you know, Mother's Day is Sunday, so we're going to go out to eat on Saturday.
Well, I think that is, you know, not having children or being in a marriage myself, Blaine, let me offer
you
some advice.
Recommendation.
Yeah, let me give you advice about your children and your marriage situation. Sure, let me do that for you.
Blaine, just do the opposite.
Well, I saw the bobblehead next to you of Coach Max, so I figured that you'd be better than him that asked you this question.
Yeah, listen, Max out here trying to steal my girlfriend as opposed to trying to save marriages. He's trying to out here, Mr. Steal Your Girl, all dressed in black. But no, I think that's, listen, I will take it from the approach of a college kid who spent a lot of time away from their parents. I think that you get solar, and it's something that, you know, I think everybody says after they, you know, you grow up and you realize how much time you should have spent with your parents, that any time that you can take advantage of the family being together, it's okay, you know, as long as your wife's okay with it, because of course it's her day. But as long as everybody is on the, you know, it's like a Christmas birthday. You're gonna have to, somebody, there's gonna have to be a little give and take, but ultimately, as long as the family's together, everybody's happy.
And that's the approach I take there, Buck. I think that's good advice. Yeah.
I have one of those crappy Christmas birthdays, Buck, December 27th. So forget you.
Yeah, no, listen, man. Mickey, you couldn't be me, all right? It's the only, I mean, I'm very dramatic and a bit of a diva about everything, but my birthday is not something to be trifled with. It's the only thing that I make, that I demand that be set aside so that I can have my day, damn it.
Wow. Well, speaking of divas, we are with Buck Rising, who has his own show here on 104.5, The Buck Rising Show. Speaking of divas, you're in the media. You're the big time.
Yeah.
You know, hey, is Adam Schefter being a diva with all this Aaron Rodgers information that no one told him, there was no source? He just held it in his back pocket and decided to put it out there on draft day?
So,
are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I guess more about Adam Schefter than actually Aaron Rodgers now.
Oh, for sure. Well, this is, and Blaine, you as somebody who has been covered by the media, I know media has changed a lot in the last 10 years, 5 years at this point with the way the technology has evolved and everybody, you know, especially during the pandemic, everybody goes digital now. Everybody's a writer, a blogger, a podcast or whatever. And that's, you know, I'm not saying that disparagingly, like that's me. I'm a product of the internet. So without this changing media environment, people like me don't exist. But with Schefter, I think it is such a – it's not that Adam Schefter can't do that, right? Because Adam Schefter's credibility is such that he – I think I can count on one hand the number of times that I remember Schefter missing on something or somebody pushing back on the accuracy of an Adam Schefter report. And it should be noted that nobody is pushing back on the accuracy of Adam Schefter's Aaron Rodgers report. Like, nobody's out here claiming that this is not accurate, what he's saying about Aaron Rodgers being unhappy with the Packers organization. But in a media environment where everything is so watered down and journalism is hanging on by a thread anyway, people are going to look at Adam Schefter and say, well, if Schefter can do that, I can do that. And that's setting a bad precedent for people who are going into journalism or, you know, like me. I'm still pretty early in this. It's been 5 years being paid to be in a sports media space, 4 years covering a team. So even somebody like me, if you're not aware of what's going on, would look at that and be like, oh yeah, if you can run with stuff like that, why can't I? Well, obviously, I don't have the credibility of Adam Schefter. Hardly anybody has the credibility of Adam Schefter. So it's okay for him, but it does not send a message for people who are trying to protect journalism and be trusted as journalists, because I think there's such a lack of trust in the media right now, just generally, for a variety of different reasons. And also, like, I think the thing that has become so blurred, and I'm, again, not to make it about me, but, like, I'm a reporter, but I have a three-hour talk show and an hour-long streaming show and a podcast in which I am not required to have an opinion, but I have an opinion. And largely, the job of reporter is to maintain objectivity, to not have an opinion, and to report just straight-up facts. So, like, the lines are already so blurred with this kind of stuff that you don't ever want to make yourself a part of the story, or you shouldn't. But so often people like Adam Schefter on that kind of platform, or, you know, any one of us where we're involved with like a Mike Vrabel media interaction or something like that, where we become a part of the story when it really shouldn't be that way. And I think it's kind of making, you know, it's making, there are plenty of problems with journalism and how journalism is done right now. But I think that kind of speaks to a really, really clear cut example of where it's fraying.
No doubt. Well said. With Buck Rising, the Buck Rising Show here on 104.5 The Zone on Blaine and Mickey Show.
No doubt. Buck, you had Elijah Molden on earlier. That is a lot of people's favorite pick in this draft. And I think you and Lucas even had a poll earlier about how quickly he might even get on the field. It seems like that's a dude who could get on the field pretty quickly in this newly aligned defense.
Well, and Blaine, I know that you've been really complimentary of him as a player and what he is able to do and kind of the need that they have, and understanding that they had needs all over the defense, but the way that they nuked the secondary kind of says as much about the secondary as it did about what they did with the pass rush. Because, I mean, they were both equally pretty dramatic overhauls. I think that when you watch a lot, and the Farley thing is as much about we just don't simply know when the health of the player is going to be at a place where he can regularly contribute, whether it's training camp, whether it's before that, whether it's the start of the regular season, whatever. I think it's as much about the health of the player, the conversation, as it is about Elijah Molden. But Elijah Molden can do so much for you. And this is where we're going to put people like Shane Bowen to the test, right? As media, as people or as people who are Titans fans, as people who are watching this team on a regular basis, you have this talent now in the secondary. In fact, the secondary is as loaded with talent as it has been really since like the prime of MMCMB with Logan Ryan and Malcolm Butler and Byard and Vaccaro and Adoree Jackson at their height before, you know, the contracts got too much for the salary cap to bear here in Tennessee. How can you, as Shane Bowen, get creative with the players that you have at your disposal? Because, I mean, you're talking I don't know how they get them all on the field right now, given that you think that Jackrabbit, Jenkins, and Fulton makes the most sense on the outside. Farley is probably an outside corner in a perfect circumstance. We know that Molden is best, can play safety, can play a little bit on the outside, but he's best as a slot player. I think Lewis Riddick called him a Jedi in the slot in his post-draft analysis. So it's not like they're going to run out there with a bunch of dime defense. How can you get creative with your rotations? How can you get all of these players involved, given that you have so much talent at your disposal?
Buck Rising, our guest. So what did you like most about, because we haven't had you on since it was finished. What did you like most about the Titans draft? What did you like least about the Titans draft?
So, I mean, least is easy, right? They don't have a tight end. Like they just don't have a tight end. And maybe John knows something about what's about to get cut and be available on the veteran free agent market, because a lot of teams are going to have to go through that. I mean, I don't know that the Titans are going to straight up cut anybody at this point, but they do still have their own financial gymnastics to work through before a hard salary cap comes into effect later in the summer. But the tight end is obviously the biggest issue need at this point. I wasn't as upset at everybody about, or as everybody else seemed to be, or at least, you know, the loud majority in all of our Twitter mentions about the fact that they waited until day three to take a wide receiver. I mean, we can't spend all this time talking about the depth of wide receiver class and then, you know, bury them when they test the depth of the wide receiver class. But, you know, honestly, and this is problematic because Lucas and I were getting ready to do this on Monday, and then the Rashad Weaver report dropped about him being charged with simple assault. But I thought the best value pick that they had outside of Caleb Farley was Rashad Weaver. And that's a hugely problematic situation right now, not just because of the awful, awful quote that is being attributed to him about being comfortable hitting a woman if she needs it, which is the thing that he's now most famous for at this point. But they needed additional help there. Not having him will cost them in terms of the course of a 17-game now regular season when injury is 100% a part of this process, whether it's how available Bud Dupree is at the start of the season, you know, how Harold Landry has been hugely healthy over the course of his career. That's as much luck as it is anything at this point. And there is, God forbid anything happened to any of these guys, but it is something that you have to be prepared for. And the thing that really killed them more than just their top line players or their top paid players not performing up to expectation is they had zero depth behind them. And so I looked at the Rashad Weaver pick and said, okay, this guy, you know, Vrabel's talking about he was playing inside at the Senior Bowl. He was working on the technique as an interior defensive lineman. He was basically a defensive end at Pittsburgh. Robinson's talking about having him out at the start with the outside linebacker group. So this is somebody who can play across the board at a good value at 135. But then this simple assault charge comes up and you look at it and you say, well, you know, the the best value outside of Caleb Farley, which is, you know, the value of that is yet to be determined based on his back, is now the one thing that they couldn't have, the only thing that they couldn't have happened this year, which is a red flag on a player being missed.
Don't miss Buck Rising. He joins us right here, right now on Blaine and Mickey.
Yeah, Buck, you touched on it a little bit. What do you, I guess, think about the situation with Weaver and who's to blame or not to blame on not knowing about this whole situation of off the field problem on the simple assault?
So I've had so we all obviously saw Kaharsky's report about the five scouts that he talked to. Three with other teams knew and claimed to know about the Rashad Weaver incident prior to the draft. Two of them did not. I had conversations with people that I know across the league, and it was very much combative of that report. The way that I look at Paul's report, and I obviously trust Paul as a journalist, and I know that he would not report anything that he did not believe to be so, but I also look at that and say, well, we just spent 2.5 months being lied to by scouts across the board. Now, that maybe there's little motivation for scouts to lie after the fact, but I do think that there is a, in that position, when there is so much misinformation associated with that, even after the draft, when there's the opportunity for, you know, and I know they're anonymous, so it's not like their teams are finding out who knew about this, who was doing a good job in the vetting process. But if you want to make yourself look a little better, say, yeah, I knew about that, sure. When there's so many reasons why it could have easily been missed, when you talk about the idea that the actual complaint itself, so there's 12 days over the course of the actual incident to the time that the complaint was filed. So 12 days is a substantive enough time for you to expect, hey, somebody probably needs to check in with Rashad Weaver, and whether they're asking him questions of, hey, have you been out recently? Is there any new injury information that we should know? Whether it's a fault on them for not asking the right questions, I think almost 2 weeks is a reasonable enough time span for somebody to figure that the hell out. Now, I also understand that it is made much more difficult because the complaint itself and the charge did not occur until the day before he was drafted, an hour before the first round began, which was 6 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Eastern, the second round of the draft began. So that would have been 5 o'clock locally on a Friday. All right, something that gets filed at a police department at 5 o'clock on a Friday, it's going to be difficult to get distributed or to be able to have access to that information once the weekend hits. Just, I mean, like any business, tougher to get stuff done at 5 o'clock on a Friday. So there's reason. I think there's plenty of reasonably, and we won't know this obviously until we talk to John Robinson or Mike Vrabel or Rashad Weaver himself, if that ever occurs at this point. But what there's reasonable doubt to think whether he even knew about the situation, that he had actually been charged at the time that the report came out. So, there's so many layers to it. I think that the quote obviously stands out the most to me about what he is reported to have said to the officers about, you know, being comfortable hitting a woman if need be, because that supersedes all of it. That just means you're largely, allegedly, a rotten human being and a scumbag by any stretch of the imagination, allegedly. But there is enough reason to look at the process and say it may just be, it can be, They're guilty. They're guilty by in the court of public opinion by any stretch of the imagination. This is the one thing that they couldn't have happen. And also you can look at it and say, I mean, I understand how something like that could have fallen through in a way that they got caught with their pants down on Monday morning like everybody else did when the report from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette dropped.
You're hearing it here from Buck Rising. Before we let you go, it's kind of the question of the day. Kind of Mickey's question is, do you get up, brush your teeth before you eat breakfast, or do you wait till after breakfast to then brush your teeth? See, and dental floss too, by the way.
Yeah,
yeah, you got to floss.
Blaine, I'm kind of a freak like you are. Like I get up at ungodly hours in the morning, so I do brush my teeth before I eat because there's a long enough time. I mean, you know, it doesn't look like it, but I try to go to the gym every morning, and so I'll brush my teeth. I don't want it, you know, my mouth to feel grimy. Go work out. Then I don't necessarily eat breakfast because I put a little coconut oil in my coffee because I'm fat and I'm trying to lose weight. That's a good way to kind of, you know, intermittent fast before I eat at 11 o'clock. But it's black coffee with coconut oil in it. And I don't want to, you know, come in here smelling like that coffee in the break room here that's been on the burner for 17 and a half hours and is rotting your gut. So I do try to brush my teeth before and honestly after I have my coffee with coconut oil in the morning.
Ooh. You heard it first, Buck Rising, before and after brusher. Buck, happy Mother's Day to your mom and your mother-in-law, and hope you guys have a lovely weekend, and we will see you and talk to you next week, my friend.
Not mother-in-law yet. Get the hell out of here, Mickey. Both of you.
Oh, sorry. Freudian slip. Have a great weekend, Buck.
Goodbye.